May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our Creator. Amen. Please do be seated. Flashing all through biblical texts is a lightning bolt known as prophetic ministry. According to biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann, prophetic ministry creates, listen for this, an alternative to the consciousness and perception of the dominant culture around us. Whatever the dominant culture might be in a particular time and a particular place, prophetic ministry has a way of sweeping in and completely overturning the apple cart by promoting an alternative consciousness, a different way of seeing the world. And this biblical witness to the God of life proves too hot for any dominant culture to control. The prophet Amos is the figure behind the brief Hebrew Bible book that bears the same name. He was a herdsman and a field hand who lived more than 700 years before Jesus. And this morning we hear, perhaps, the most memorable portion from the book of Amos. The prophet sees God standing beside a wall, and in God's hand is a plumb line. A plumb line, as I'm sure we all know, ensures that a structure is built right, which, of course, then begs the grim assumption that a structure can be built wrong. God, holding a plumb line, denounces the people because they are not measuring up. The movers and shakers in the kingdom where Amos lived understood what he was saying. Amaziah, chaplain at the royal sanctuary, wants Amos to get out and prophesy somewhere else, anywhere else. His plumb line prophecy is not welcome at the royal sanctuary because it subordinates the status quo to the God of justice. In Amos's time, many a nation treated their kings as divine and beyond all criticism. A transformative assertion of prophetic ministry, part of the alternative consciousness it generates, is that those in high office come under the judgment of God. God is in charge, and the king is not God. This challenging claim runs from the time of Amos, 7 centuries before Christ, and all the way through to our present time. And it provides a basis for human rights around the world. In today's gospel story, we hear Jesus present a story in response to a question put to him. A lawyer recognizes the obligation to love his neighbor as himself if eternal life is to be his. But the lawyer then asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Throughout the course of Scripture and beyond, God's people come to learn and discover through experience that their God is God of all nations and people. The living God reigns everywhere. God is concerned with all places, all people, at all times, full stop. It matters not to God whether we as a global community share ethnicity, nationality, religion, skin color, social class, sexual identity, or political principles. During the Second World War, the German army had occupied a small Greek island. The leading figure in the community was the local Orthodox bishop. One day, the German commander demanded of the bishop a list of all the Jewish residents on the island. The bishop took pen to paper, wrote down a single name, and thrust the paper at the commander. The name written on the paper was the bishop's own. Indeed, a powerful prophetic witness by the bishop of our living God in a time of fear and certain death for the Jewish community. And concerning mercy and justice, what happens to us at the altar when we celebrate the Holy Eucharist? If I had that answer, I would be God. And we know I am not God. But as we prepare ourselves this morning to receive the sacrament, how does this ritual pattern bring us to an alternative consciousness? One that challenges us of the dominant culture and enables us to see our life and ministry in a different way. The world's way, limited to getting and spending, brings no renewal. The altar teaches us a different economy. There, the inexhaustible gift of Christ becomes available to us all through faith. His body and blood are a sharing in his unconquerable death, or unconquerable life, pardon me. The Eucharist is all about giving. Christ's giving and ours in response. Christ offers himself once and always. By the Spirit's power, we share in that giving, that complete and perfect sacrifice. In union with Christ crucified, risen, and triumphant, we offer to God and to all creation ourselves in loving service. We become people of the resurrection. We learn a new way of sharing where abundance prevails. All who eat and drink receive the entire Christ. We do not stand contrary to each other, but are participants in the restored Christ. To see past the dominant culture and its real brokenness to the deeper truth is to see the union of all creation through the eyes of God. The plumb line of Amos reveals how those both high and low cannot escape the judgment of God, for the dimensions of what we build together must be mercy and justice and good faith. The Samaritan in the gospel story shows us who is our neighbor, everyone without exception, and that Christ is the foremost Samaritan, overcoming every barrier that we build. Whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, we are invited into God's loving embrace, where gifts are received and given. Divine abundance refreshes us again, and the tragic brokenness of life yields to deeper truth. Friends, count all these and more as ways of prophetic ministry. They build in us an alternative consciousness that both confronts and confounds the dominant culture. As we listen to ancient prophecy, Amos's words have a way of stepping straight out of the pages of Scripture and bearing a message that we desperately need to hear. Amos teaches us that God indeed works through our failings and our jagged edges. Not with the kind of cheap grace that amounts to little more than a spiritual bailout, but in the face of God's justice, injustices are exposed. In the face of God's mercy, contempt is brought to bear. And in the face of God's constancy, insecurity is revealed. Authentic to the biblical witness is not and never has been about avoiding conflict at all costs. Rather, the witness that Amos and the prophetic tradition proclaims brings comfort to the afflicted, but it also afflicts the comfortable. Prophetic ministry doesn't simply imply that the tomb of Jesus became empty. It casts a light forward on the ways that we, included anew in Christ, can go out from this assembly to practice our prophetic call to minister in love, justice, and mercy. And by God's grace, may it be so. Amen.